श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्याम मनोराधा कृष्ण गौर धाम विचार श्री वृंदावन धाम विचार गौर धाम विचार गौर मन तो श्री वाले विचार नंद गोरी वैष्णव वृंद विचार सांबत वक्त वृंद विचार गौर वृंद ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते
नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे नृवशेष शनिवारी पाश्चाचरे शचारणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर सुवसनी गौर भक्त वृंद
हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे
राम 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 हरे हरे फ्रॉम फोर्थ कैंटो श्रीमद्भागवत चैप्टर 24 वर्स 68
अतः
अस्ति
असि Undoubtedly fearless. Gati. Destination. Translation, my dear Lord, all actually learned persons know you as the Supreme Brahman and the Super Soul. Although the entire universe is afraid of Lord Rudra, who ultimately annihilates everything for the learned devotees, you are the fearless destination of all. Apart for the purpose of creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this causing manifestation of three lords, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, the material body is finished at the time of annihilation. Both the material universal body and the small unit of the individual living entity's body are susceptible to annihilation at the ultimate end. However, the devotees do not fear the annihilation of the body, for they are confident that after the annihilation, they will go back home back to Godhead. If one strictly follows the process of devotional service, he has no fear of death, for he is predestined to go back home, back to Godhead. Non-devotees are fearful of death because they have no guarantee of where they are going or the type of body they are going to get in the next life. The word Rudra bias in this verse, because Rudra himself or Shiva speaking out here, Rudra. This indicates that there are many Rudras, 11 Rudras, and Rudra, Lord Shiva, who was offering this prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is different from the other Rudras, although he's as powerful as they are. The conclusion is that one Rudra is afraid of another Rudra because each and every one of them is engaged in the destruction of this cosmic manifestation. But for the devotees, everyone is afraid of Rudra, even Rudra himself. A devotee is never afraid of Rudra because he is always secure and protected by the lotus feet of the Lord. As Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kaunteya Pratijani, Nali Bhakti Pranashasti, my dear Arjuna, you may declare publicly that my pure devotee will not be vanquished under any circumstances. Translation, my dear Lord, all actually learned persons know you as the Supreme Brahman and the Super Soul. Although the entire universe is afraid of Lord Rudra, who ultimately annihilates everything for the learned devotee, you are the fearless destination of all. So here, Shiva declares that Vishnu is Brahman and Paramatma. Shiva, of course, is an aspect of the Supreme Lord, but he's not called Paramatma or Brahman. In this way, Shiva is distinguishing Vishnu from himself. And he's called here the destination or the goal, which produces no fear or fearlessness in all the living entities. Which means ultimately that it is Vishnu who grants a person fearlessness from death. In other words, he takes people beyond the material world. So this is the special quality of the Supreme Lord, that he delivers a person from the material world. And no one else can do that. Of course, we also know that Shiva is in charge of a certain aspect of liberation, and therefore a lot of people worship him for liberation. And in the Riyad Bhagavatamrita there, Sanatana Goswami describes his abode as somewhere in the Brahman. He is associated with liberation to some degree. And of course Durga also is, because if Durga is merciful and withdraws her Maya potency, then one can get liberation. So in this way, Durga and Shiva are both connected with liberation also. And Durga by withdrawing Maya, and Shiva by leading them to the abode of Brahman. But we also know that the ultimate giver of liberation is Vishnu, not Shiva. And as our acharyas pointed out, one cannot get moksha or liberation unless one also worships Vishnu. It is by the mercy of Vishnu that one can get liberation, not by worshipping Shiva or anybody else. So, therefore, ultimately, to get out of this material world and stop birth and death, one has to worship Vishnu to some degree. Of course, one may not worship him completely as one sadhana, but at least one has to give some worship to him. On the other hand, liberation is nothing for Vishnu and the devotees. Liberation is Brahman, and Brahman is the most distant realization, or the most ambiguous, unclear realization of the Lord. So the devotees are not interested in that. So of course liberation can give fearlessness or deliverance from death, and one can enter into that Brahman region, or one can also get fearlessness by doing bhakti and attaining a spiritual body in the spiritual world and serving the Lord. And so both processes will give fearlessness or freedom from birth and death. So Rudra here describes himself as a fearful entity who destroys the material world. Shiva has a particular role to play in terms of ruling over tamagun and destruction in general and destruction of the universe. So that's his particular function. So he is an expansion of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, but he plays this limited role of destruction of universe. And when universe is destroyed, what is left? Brahman and the spiritual world are left. So Shiva has a special role to play, which is a little bit limited, and therefore he's not classed as Vishnu. Of course, we can argue that Vishnu also plays a limited role in the sense that he's is in charge of sattva-guna, or maintenance of the universe. He does that. But that is one expansion of the Lord, Kiradakshaya Vishnu. And of course, he is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he is Karanakshaya Vishnu, and there's Vishnu in the spiritual world. So when I say Vishnu, there's all varieties of Vishnu with different functions. So of course, the Purusha avatars are also limited in a sense, because they are limited to manifestation, creation, and destruction of the material worlds also. So Mahavishnu creates the universes, and then ultimately everything goes back to the Mahavishnu. Okay, so he's also creator and destroyer of universes. That is, of course, a limited function also. And that is why the Purusha avatars are not considered supreme. So beyond that, then we have spiritual world with the forms of Vishnu and the different avatar forms and Krishna. So those are considered Bhagavan. So these Purusha avatars are actually called Paramatma forms. Yeah. Of course, they are superior to the Brahman aspect, because the Brahman aspect is simply the effulgence of the Supreme Lord with no particular form. Yeah. But still, even the Purusha avatars or Paramatma forms are not considered supreme. They have a limited function to perform. Yeah. Still, their function is superior to Shiva's function, because we see that creation, maintenance, and destruction are ultimately under the Purusha avatars, and Shiva takes a charge of the destruction aspect only, so he's more limited than that. So, therefore, though people are afraid of Rudra because of his destructive potency, ultimately everything is under Vishnu. And by surrendering to Vishnu or Krishna, that one becomes free from birth and death in the material world. Rudra, of course, is a secondary aspect, we could say, but ultimately Vishnu is the person ultimately in charge of freedom from birth and death, and liberation, and place in the spiritual world. So here, Shiva is directly indicating that Vishnu is superior to himself. The Vishnu appears as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So those who are wise, or vipassacitta, those persons will understand the position of Vishnu and the position of Shiva and their different functions. Whereas, of course, people who are not wise, those who are foolish, will make mistakes. So Shiva, therefore, is describing the proper hierarchy. In that hierarchy, there, if we have an understanding of this hierarchy, then we can perform proper worship. If we don't have proper understanding, then we are confused, and we don't know who to worship. And we worship the wrong person, thinking that a devata is supreme or Shiva is supreme. But if we know the proper hierarchy, then we will choose Vishnu as the object of worship.
No, but chanting Hare Krishna is also, religion is a byproduct of chanting Hare Krishna, isn't it?
Hmm?
Religion is a byproduct of
yeah.
Chanting Hare Krishna Mantra.
Yeah, it's a byproduct. One automatically goes beyond birth and death through the process of bhakti. One gets eternal body in the spiritual world, so automatically one's free from birth and death. So that aspect of liberation is included in bhakti. The other aspect of liberation where one does not have a form or qualities or anything emerges in Brahman, that aspect is not there in bhakti. Well, those persons who go for liberation, if they attain Jivan Mukta status on earth, then they can fall from that position. If they actually enter into the Brahman, then they stay there.
Unless they get the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, or associate with Lord Krishna, then they can't stay there, then they come back again to the material world.
Well, in Brahman, they can go to Brahman if they worship the Lord also. They may want liberation, so they can get that and stay there eternally. If they don't worship the Lord, they can't get liberation. They may come up in the status of Jiva Mukta and then fall from that position.
But this worship of Lord also, does it actually, is that they understand that Lord Vishnu is supreme?
Only
can help them. When somebody is worshipping like Lord
Vishnu. Yeah, yeah. If they commit aparad and think that Vishnu is a devata, then no, there's no effect.
Shiva is neither a jivatattva or a
Vishnu
tattva, something
middle. What's that? Shiva. Well, he's not an amsa in the sense that the jiva is an amsa. So in that sense, he's the Supreme Lord.
He's always eternal.
Yeah. That's one of the special qualities distinguishing him from jiva. He has the eternal body.
So when we say worship of Shiva, they also can attain the same.
Well, in one sense, yes, they can attain eternal nation. I said they can get moksha, but still, that is just a partial realization. It is a limited aspect of Vishnu.
While Lord Shiva leaves,
huh? Because he's in charge of destruction of the material world, I suppose. In charge of false ego also. So if he removes your false ego, you get liberation.
Rudra Sampradaya, Shiva is acharya. Devotees of Rudra Sampradaya, they take Shiva as a form. When the other Sampradaya, they take Shiva as their
form. Yes. Rudra is Vaishnava Sampradaya. Rudra is a devotee who teaches bhakti. Vallabha Sampradaya. So he's not. He's a devotee. Yeah. Sometimes Jiva may take the role of Shiva also within a material world.
Here, explain that Rudra and Shiva, some difference there.
No, well, there's 11 Rudras in the material world. Expansions.
But one Rudra is afraid of another Rudra.
Yeah, well, there's 11 of them, we can say that. For the expansions.
But sometimes through a devotee, the Lord appears to be in darshan. But that form is different from avatar form. Sometimes it's clear that Lord just appears to give a darshan to the devotee. But an avatar form is only, for example, comes in the material universe. But sometimes the devotee just has darshan of the Lord. Like it is Narayana.
Dhruva is actually, that was an avatar form.
Yes.
That was Prishnigarbha.
Yes.
It's an avatar form.
In case of Narayana Muni, he just had a fraction of a time.
Yeah, it looks like that was an internal vision.
So they're not avatar actually?
No, those aren't avatars. But Dhruva is actually an avatar because it's Prishnigarbha. Born of Krishna and Sutama. And even Gajendra, that form is Hari, who was the Manvantara for that particular cycle, I think Raivata Manvantara, something like that. So he was the Manvantara avatar, Hari. So he appeared then, delivering Gajendra.
When Mahaprabhu showed his Sadguj,
number one,
is it eternal form?
It's not mentioned, but all forms of the Lord are real, so they must be eternal.
Somewhere it's existing, the six forms.
Of course, something that may be temporary, like Krishna may show different forms also,
he shows a Narayan form once in a while like that, but that's a temporary form. And when he shows universal form, that actually is a material form, the expansion form. But sometimes they may show a Narayan form in Vrindavan, which is just very temporary also. So Lord Chaitanya can do that also. Yeah, all those forms are eternal.
But you said different incarnation of is the incarnation of Vishnu, is that any incarnation of Vishnu?
Well, they are incarnations in the sense of the Guna Avatar. Guna Avatar, Shiva. And he also is not a Jiva, he's not an Amsa in the same way. So he does have in one sense similar powers to Vishnu, but a little more limited.
Редактор субтитров А.Семкин Корректор А.Егорова